And thanks to you, Pastor Shane, for having us. And also thank you to all the elders of this church and, of course, you, the congregation. It's our privilege. I say our because I represent the Canberra group this morning, that to be able to be here and to have a fellowship with you. It's marvelous and to be able to be here and to hear all the lovely singing, and not only the music that is so blessful, but if you would just hear the words, it's so uplifting as well, Lord. Especially the one that asked us, just look to the eyes of Jesus. And, well, this morning, what I have to prepare, as the scripture has read, the first part of the scripture is concerned about the great commandments, and the second part that has been read is about the great commission of Jesus. We know that the Word of God today is telling us that as believers, we must commit ourselves to fulfill that great commandment and the great commission of Jesus. And if you are aware of the very popular book, The Purpose-Driven Life, written by Pastor Rick Warren, and you will also know that in there he says that if you fulfill these two commandments or the two statements, you will become the great Christians. That we will all accept. And he also further says to us that, he says that if you would fulfill these two statements, you will be also fulfilling the God purposes for your life. And he mentioned five. And briefly, these are that we are to love God. That is one. And number two, we are to be a part of his family. Number three, we are to be like Christ. Number four, we are to serve him. And five, we are to tell others about him. Obviously, these purposes need the leadership and involvement of the church. But we can confidently expect that the church will help us to fulfill these purposes. I said this is because if you would just care to look at the mission of the church, you find that the mission of the church declares that, one, we are to proclaim the gospel, and two, we are to teach and pastor the believers. Three, we are to train and send them to tell the good news. Number four, we are to defend the truth by refuting heresies and bringing them to correct path. That's the mission of the church. And that is the reason why I would say to all of us here that that being the case, we need to deeply involve with church. And also, we need to be also be involved in all its activities and functions. And this is so because we need the church for our own eternal benefits. when we come together for church services and fellowship, we can trust the Holy Spirit to help us understand God's purposes for our lives. And also to help us to understand the mission of the church. And I would say that all of these can be achieved by trusting, by obeying, and by relying wholly on God. Jesus promised that he will be with us till the end of time. So we are not alone in this. He is with us, especially when we do what he calls upon us to do. And he will also give us the necessary spiritual gifts and abilities. And this, I will say again, especially, it is true when we say yes to his plans and purposes. It is true that the Great Commission cannot be carried out without first obeying to the Great Commandments. We cannot go and tell the others about Jesus without first loving God and having a Christ-likeness character within us. As Christians, there must be a balanced development of all of these God's purposes for our lives, in order that we may reach out to the people both inside and outside of the church. Let us now look at the Great Commission of Jesus and ask why it is important and why it is meant for all of us and not just for those who are ordained. The answer to this is the fact that since we are all saved and become his own, Jesus wants to use us as messengers of his love. And the purposes that he wants us to fulfill in this world. And that is his purpose to the world. And he wants to carry his message and his purpose to the world through us. And that is the reason why we will know that in a way he wants us to continue his mission on earth. And that being the case, we should consider ourselves a great privilege to represent him in doing something which is of eternal significance. To tell others about Jesus may not be easy for many of us. We need to learn and practice evangelization. And more importantly, we need to have that desire, the desire to answer the call of the Great Commission. And we would also need the church to encourage and to support us And that is the reason why if you see the call, and when we respond to that call, we look to the church to help, for the necessary help to train us. As I said earlier, the mission, one of the mission of the church is that we are to go and tell about Jesus to other people. I also have said that if we would like to do the work of God, and we should have that confidence, because His word says that He will provide, or He will equip to those who He called. And that is the reason why whatever spiritual gifts and whatever abilities that we need to go to the mission, for example, and we should not have that to hold us back. And that is the reason why I would say that we should not say we don't have the expertise, or we don't have the experience. But what we need to know is that if you answer and you say yes to God, and I personally believe, and I think you will also, that it is the Holy Spirit who will do the God, who will do the work through you, and therefore it is not us who will be doing the work. Naturally, we go out and we introduce Jesus, but it is the Holy Spirit who has to come and to settle and for us to that significant moment where we can bring Jesus and let Jesus to be the Lord and the Savior of those who have not had that message before. Now, what I would want to say is this. On our part, all we have to do is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and submit to the word of Jesus as the last word in all issues, and having faith to carry out His will. I would now like to support what I have said by way of giving you a testimony. In 1989, my wife and I went to Port Moresby, and I was to work for the University of Papua New Guinea for 4 months. While there, we got involved in church renewal ministry of a mainland church. We were fresh in the ways of the new life in the spirit at that time. We volunteered as a church needs someone to work in that ministry. We learn to do the job with the Holy Spirit as our guide and teacher. In due course, we were also able to bring the renewer to that church in the other parts of Papua New Guinea. And in that way, we find ourselves for me in particular, from a coordinator of a renewal ministry, I find myself, I became a national president of that ministry in that mainline church. And additionally, I was working alongside with the Minister Fraternal and Formosi and involved in their monthly ecumenical prayer meetings, and got invited to some of the United Evangelical and Pentecostal churches. I also attended a delegate as a delegate at the first South Pacific Prayer Assembly held in Honiara in Solomon Islands, and also the second one held in Port Moresby. And because of all my involvement with the people, Christians from all different churches, so what happened was that when the peace conference, so when peace conference, Bougainville peace conference in 1994 came around, I was invited as one of the two spiritual directors to be there to minister to the people who came to attend this peace conference. That is, I was interacting with all the delegates coming from all over Papua New Guinea, mainly from the Bougainville Islands. And not only that, what I'm trying to say is that when you let yourself go and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and do with whatever He wills with your life, things change. And this is what I want to emphasize in this short testimonies. And you see that not only that, and the Bougainville Interim Government, because of my ecumenical outlook and contact, they asked me to come back to Bougainville again. And at that time, the situation was such that there were no fixed plane going to various parts of Bougainville. So the government even chartered a helicopter for me and my friend to reach out to the southern part of Bougainville, where there are a lot of young people whom I have contacted and whom I have, so to speak, have helped them to come into the renewal. So they asked me to come and to continue to have a fellowship with them, you see. And now, that was in 84. And then in 85, what happened was that apart from going to the southern part of Bougainville, ministering to the Christians over there, that has been cut off because almost like a civil war. And for about 10 years, very few people were allowed to get into Bougainville. But I was the fortunate one that government over there asked me to come. So I was there. And the same year, what I also managed back in Port Moresby, I was able to convey a PNG for Christ in intercessory ministry. And that was good. because through this ministry, I also have organized a Jericho ride for 7 nights around Port Moresby, praying for the city. I do not know where in the mid most probably will be there. We heard about all of this thing going on, and it was nice. And we did that, going around the city of Port Moresby for 7 nights, starting off with about 20-30 cars, trucks, bus, and all this. By the sixth day, we had about 80-90 cars and buses, imagine, going all around Port Moresby praying for the city, and police escort and everything. So that was something very nice thing that has happened. And now, this is just to encourage you that don't say I don't have expertise or experience. And I can even give you another most interesting thing. And we came back at the end of 95, and in early 96, the Bougainville Interior Government asked me to come back. And I didn't know for what purpose. But in the end, what I found was that I was one of the two speakers whom they have invited to conduct a weekend retreat for the leaders of the Bougainville Interim Government. And that was a great honor and privilege for me. And mind you, I like to emphasize that I started off with knowing nothing. All I had was a willingness to go and to serve God. And that's my only criteria. I don't have any training in the renewal ministry. Neither do I have a diploma or a degree from a Bible college. I don't have that sort of thing. But then I was willing. I was willing, and make myself available. And that's why I can testify to you that if you only are willing and available, God can use you. And I know that some of you will be going out to Thai Burma border for a mission. I would encourage you to just go and let the church equip you. And just don't stop there. Just be willing to go. So, I'd like to give you a verse from here, and it's from Ephesians 2:10. And the Bible says, in that particular verse, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good work. In Acts 20:24, Paul says, the most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me. So I would say, may we pray that the same spirit of evangelization of Paul will also be given to us, fulfilling the great commandments and the great commission of Jesus will enable you to experience the blessing of God in special ways. There is almost nothing God wouldn't do for the man and woman who is committed to serving the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Father, help us to find and fulfill our role in your kingdom. Equip us with spiritual gifts and abilities to do well in the ministry and mission assigned to us. Lord, let us all be obedient when we hear your call. We thank you that you make a way for us where there seems to be no way, and will make us strong when we are weak. For your Holy Spirit will be empowering us. We praise you, Lord, and give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful name.